When you were new and you were down under and you were headed somewhere, do you remember the tension, feeling that you're not going the right way? Going fast, going down, getting hotter forever. It's a kind of a taste of hell. Trying to find the one right way through a set of bad directions while assembling a children's toy on Christmas afternoon can pull the shade down on Christmas. Trying to find the right way to please a boss or a spouse whose mantra is my way or the highway casts shadows on everything. In stark contrast, actually finding the right way, yes, right? The perfect shot, the great recipe, the two smooth subway transfers to a meeting on time. Bah, yes. Finding one right way and following it is a major theme of our days, whether we like it or not. So, question. How do you feel when you hear the passage from John's Gospel and Jesus is saying, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but through me. Let's be plain. In this room, there are 100 Christianities, and perhaps not a small number of no thank yous on top of that. So, of course, there isn't just one response that we have to this scripture, I am the way. Nevertheless, the range of possible responses seems kind of obvious, from no, he isn't, on the one hand, to yes, on the other, and a multitude of options between. Wherever you might find yourself on this spectrum, I hope today that you might hear something to liberate you from the tight box of this one-way doctrine. The very question, is Christ the only way or not, already betrays the questioner as a Westerner, as a modern, that is, who supposes herself outside and looking down to judge a system and its dangers, its adequacy, its dangers. Just as we once stood outside the subway system, judging it, fearing it. Actually, that never ends, does it? But whether you who are now listening are Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or skeptic or angry or amused, consider this possibility. There is no place to stand to judge the truth of a religious path that you are not on. Put another way, when we make absolute judgments about religious propositions, yes or no, what is in our sights is not the truth about that way. What's in our sights is ourselves only, our fears, our hopes, our self-protection. Now, be on guard against human distortions of the reality of God. God knows religion is constantly falling into human hands who twist it and manipulate the religion so that it may serve their ends. My friend Samir Selmanovich, author of a book published this past fall called It's Really All About God. Samir calls this process of religion falling into human hands, turning it into a God management system. It really gets to the point. So be on guard about religion in human hands. But then consider this. If you deplore what you see, well, then what you see is merely deplorable. It's not the religion. It's just something deplorable. It's not the path, it's not the way, it's not the life, it's not truth. For a series called The Power of Myth, many of you may remember this, Bill Moyers interviewed the great mythologist Joseph Campbell. It's about 20-some years ago. Moyers, near the end of the series, asked this man so thoroughly acquainted with the stories and the claims and the hopes of world religions whether he himself had ever held to one of the traditions he studied. In a word, have you been a believer? Moyers is a Baptist. Campbell reflected briefly, said no, he had not. And then he acknowledged that in a critical sense, he did not fully know any religion because he had not walked its path. And I thought, wise man. At some point thereafter in the interview, he said he thought what the world really needed was a new planet religion. That's his term. A universal religion to draw all people together, not to divide and separate. And I thought, utopian error, Mr. Campbell. This is more evidence that you have never walked in the path of a religion. You have only walked around them, fascinated by their intricacies and more knowledgeable than any of us, but yet remaining always objective, which is to say, remaining always in yourself. Even as I was watching The Power of Myth so long ago, an image flew into my mind for all our religious life here on earth. It was the board game called Parcheesi. Some of you know that still? It's kind of out of fashion, though I looked it up on the web last night and saw that Milton Bradley was selling new editions for $140. That's a mistake. It's a really simple thing, and it's an ancient game. It comes from India. At the outset of the game, each of the players has all of her pieces in one of the four corners of the board. And then at the throw of a die, the player moves the pieces out onto this very serpentine pathway, very orderly, stepping around and around and making progress this way. Others also move out onto the board, and they have the right to impede your progress. The object of the game is to get all of your pieces to the center of the board, which is called home. And now I'm reading from the directions. Each player has his own home path and may not enter another's. So when a piece is on its own home path, it can no longer be interfered with. Once a piece is in the home path, it can no longer be moved except to move all the way home. That, I thought, is like religion. At the end of the game, the several players' pieces, mostly anyway, they're all assembled together in the home space, but each got there on its own way. Now, this figure, if winsome, is crude and inept, but it suggests something of the weakness of wishing for a planet religion or for wiping away of all of the real religions in favor of some longed-for universal that will not embarrass me with its particularity, its localness, its relativity, its rituals, its smell. The error in that wish for planet religion is, if this is the game, I mean, sort of Parcheesi-like. If the only way home, whatever home might be, is by way of a particular path, then knowing that several paths exist is kind of unimportant compared to actually getting in the game. The wish for a planet religion strikes me as wishing for a planet body, one that is neither male nor female, one that doesn't have any of all that alarming particularity and shape to it. Give me something higher, something more humane. No! The only human way home is this embodied way. Male or female, you don't get to choose. Is one better than the other? I suppose people have opinions about this, but doesn't that seem a little ridiculous to suggest we could answer? There is no place to stand to judge which is better. It's the wrong question. That is how it is with the spiritual body, too. The only way to receive what a spiritual path has on offer is to take the path, body and soul. Can it be that a path to the universal begins, even maybe must begin, through a door with a hinge? You'll have to try the handle to find out. Or maybe listen to the words of Jesus. Trust in God, trust also in me. The liberation here this morning might be to unhook from the Western obsession with being in the right or finding others in the wrong. That obsession is about self-preservation, whether it has religious dress on it or not. It's about self-preservation. It arose, historically speaking, to protect the chrysalis of individuality as it emerged into history. But now every clan and tribe is in touch with every other in some way. And individuality can be excessively expressed. The power of our religion. And now, understand, I'm speaking of Christianity not as one religion superior to others, but as the one that I have a ground to talk about, because there isn't any ground for me to make judgments of others. The power of our religion shows itself timeless, for while this path can help draw an individual out of a tribe or clan in which she has been subsumed, so also this encounter with Christ within me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, as St. Patrick put it, this call, this encounter with Christ, calls the individual forward to something higher than the individual, to lose your life. It's in the book. Not to defend your life, but to lose it, that you may receive life anew as a gift, a different kind of life. This is the path, the Christian path. Lose your life. It involves no weird beliefs that are contrary to nature and reason. Let me say that again. Holding to Christian faith requires of you no odd beliefs contrary to nature or reason. This is a path. It is not ideas. Those who preach Christianity as a set of ideas to punch on a card that you've got to have in your hand in order to get to heaven squander the precious time and energy of all who heed them. On this matter, Jesus is completely plain. The last shall be first, the first last. Lose your life that you may receive life. Take up your cross and follow me. In John's story, Jesus says, you remember, you know the way where I am going, he says to his disciples. And then he responds to Thomas's expression of doubt and ignorance. He says, I am the way. Well, do the math with me. If A equals B and B equals C, A equals C, right? Well, that means Jesus is saying, I am the way where I am going. If that sounds like a Zen koan to you, you're listening. Right. It's meant to be that way, to get you off the hook of right and wrong thinking, of detailed believing. This is a path, a way to be. The invitation of Christ is not at all into the error of holding right beliefs. This invitation of Christ is not at all to the evil of supposing that particular things, including religion or church, are absolutely good. All the created world falls. The invitation of Christ to his path is, in the words of H. Richard Niebuhr, an invitation to permanent revolution. A quote: "The self we loved is not the self God loves. The neighbors we did not prize are God's treasure. The truth we ignored is the truth he maintained. The justice which we sought because it was ours is not the justice that God's love desires. The righteousness God demands and gives is not our righteousness, but greater and different. God requires of us the sacrifice of all that we would conserve and grants us gifts we had not dreamed of. The forgiveness of our sin rather than justification. Repentance and sorrow for our wrongdoing rather than forgetfulness. Faith in God rather than confidence in ourselves. Instead of peace and joy of the world, hope for the world to come on earth as it is in heaven." You see, although critics of Christianity like Campbell and these mockers more lately like Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens and Bill Maher, all of them are obviously quite accurate in seeing hateful divisions among religious people. Come on, that's not too hard to see. But they are surprisingly blind to the cause. The cause of the division is plainly not the paths themselves. What's causing this division is inside man and woman. It's desire, it's fear, it's ignorance. Look, just some of the names of the religious or the commitments of the paths. Islam, the name means submission. Buddhism is committed to four noble truths and the Eightfold Path, which are all about learning where the path of peace lies. Judaism is Jesus' religion. This path of Christianity calls you to take the low seat always. The paths are not the problem. Could it be more obvious that the cause of the divisions and the war is fear and self-defense and ignorance of who we really are? It's not less religion that's needed. It's more. More. Going further in and further up, as the Mighty Mouse Reepicheep says in C.S. Lewis's Narnia stories, further in and further up. The irony of taking a hobbled version of Christianity into the ring and wrestling it to the ground, as Bill Maher does so humorously in that movie Religulous, is that when you're done, okay, you won. Now what? You're on top, Bill. Now what? You have utterly missed the path. You have only saved yourself and your pride. But Christian faith was not going to wrestle with you in that regard. It was an invitation to so meet God and so love God that all that God has created becomes for you an object of your love and service. May you see that the way home for you, the Lord says, I'm talking to you. Don't you worry about the others. I have many mansions, many mansions. That's my issue. Don't you worry about them. I'm talking to you. And for you, the way home is in this body, this local universal church where I am the way and the truth and the life. Trust in God. Trust also in me. This is your way home. Amen.